You know, the children of Israel, when they had gone to claim the great promised land, must have been singing a song something similar to that. There is something on the horizon that is much, much better than where we are. In the book of Joshua, we know that Joshua had conquered Canaan, and we talked about Joshua a little over a week ago. And we know the great man of valor that Joshua was. But there was another man who was of such great valor as well, and his name was Caleb. And by the time you reach in the book of Joshua, the 14th chapter, Israel had been involved in the business of laying claim to the promised land that God had given unto Israel. You know, many of us have a tendency to forget, even if we have studied about the promised land and the conquest of Canaan. God had made a promise, as a matter of fact, 40 years prior to the time that Israel entered into that wonderful land of promise. But God had made a promise that someday they would enter into the land that flowed with milk and with honey. Israel had been engaged in one battle after another with victories on every hand. And now the time had come to divide the land and to give every tribe of Israel, the 12 tribes, the inheritance that God had promised unto them. And when they came to the tribe of Judah, there was an 85 gray-haired old man who steps up to the front to claim his inheritance. It's almost unbelievable when you read this story because it is such a great story. And it begins in the 14th chapter in the 6th verse. And if you were to read down through about verse 15, you get the whole concept of what's going on here. But we know that Caleb here is laying claim to this great promised land that God had made known unto him. Caleb really is a picture of a child that is not satisfied with the ordinary. But he wants something even better. You will remember that in this story, or in the text as we have it here tonight, that Caleb made the statement unto the man of God that he was just as strong as he ever had been. And it had been, as he said here, 45 years, I guess you could say. And now the promise is coming true. You know, God makes promises unto you and to me that we can have a life of victory and happiness and peace and joy. But many people who could lay claim to all of that have chosen to live in the wilderness of defeat and depression. You know, many Christians, I guess you could say, are guilty of what we call window shopping. There are those sometimes who come to church and they're shopping maybe for something that they will never ever find because they come shopping for the church to give unto them instead of them wanting to give into the kingdom of God. Sometimes people often talk about, well, what kind of programs do you have? Well, and what can you do for me if I become a member here? I always ask people, well, what are you prepared to do to help build the body of Christ? Sometimes religious folks in general go what they call window shopping, and they go from one church to another. They bounce here and then they bounce there. And I'm not opposed to window shopping. I'm not opposed to that. I heard a story one time about a fellow who said to his wife, "Why do you call it shopping? Because you never buy anything." And she replied, "Well, why do you call it fishing? Because you never catch anything." Well, that may be true in life. But you know, as believers in God, we ought to be a people that do much, much more than just kind of window shop. Now, Caleb here pictures the Christian who is willing to pay any price to lay hold on the wonderful promises of God. I like verse 12 of this text because in this text, Caleb walks up to Joshua and he says, "Now therefore give me this mountain." I like what he says back in verse 7 when he talks about the fact that he wanted to go into the promised land and he wanted all of the inheritance that God had made known unto him. And he says in verse 7 that it was in my heart. You know what? If you get something in your heart, you'll get it in your life. That's why the Bible says that we obey God from the heart. Romans chapter 6. And when a person really obeys God from the heart, then his life takes on fulfillment. In verse 12, however, it says, "Now therefore give me this mountain." One of the characteristics, I think, of this man's life, and there are many of them that perhaps we could talk about tonight. I want to talk about a few of them. But these characteristics are so important. I see Caleb, first of all, as a man who is really committed. You know, people don't like that word. They don't. They don't like the word commitment. That's why people like to live together without being married. That's why people sometimes do not become members of the church of the Lord Jesus. They don't want to be committed. I've heard people say that over and over and over again. Well, I don't have a whole lot to give to the church in terms of time and effort and money. You know what we do? We give money to things we're committed to. And we give our time and our energy to things that we really are committed to. The first key to Caleb's success was that God had all that Caleb was. He had his heart, he had his soul, he had his mind, and he had his strength. I like what the scripture says here. It is repeated in this phrase that Caleb was a man who followed wholly the Lord, or wholly followed the Lord. And it is said of Caleb in this particular setting in the book of the old, in this book of Joshua, five times that he wholly, that means completely, followed the Lord. Now that phrase actually means to close the gap. He didn't want anything to come between him and his God. It's like a hunter who closes in on his prey. It refers to the fact that Caleb was committed to keeping distance between himself and the Lord at a minimum. He wanted to be close to God, and he lived close to God. When I look back at this man's life, I'm astounded at Caleb and also at Joshua. But I think Caleb has to be one of the greats of the Old Testament. We don't really talk about Caleb so much, but we talk about Joshua and we talk about Moses. And when God sent them in to spy out the land, you remember it was Caleb and Joshua who came back with a favorable report and said, "We can take the land," when the hearts of everybody else began to melt. And they said, "We look as like grasshoppers to these giants that are out there." But that wasn't the attitude of this man named Caleb. The word holy means, that is W-H-O-L-L-Y, literally means to fill. It carries the idea of filling a sail that is out on the lake with all of the air possible. Every inch, every ounce, every nerve, every fiber of Caleb belonged unto God. Wouldn't it be wonderful today if members of the church could have that same spirit that this man had? Because God deserves your all. He does. You know what our real problem is, I think, is the fact that too many of us leave an escape hatch, so to say, back to our old lives. We do. That's why people don't want to be committed. If they consider the fact in their mind, well, it just doesn't work out and I'm not happy there and, you know, it's not going to work. Well, I'm going to retreat back to my old way of living. What we have to do is bury the old man. As we said this morning, he is dead and gone. Don't retreat back to an old way of living. And I'm going to tell you something. Christians do it quite often. Christians will go to great lengths to avoid really being committed to God. You know what? In the church, it's hard to get people committed today. It's hard to get people to wait on the table. Hard to get people to lead prayer. Hard to get people to teach a Bible class. Hard to get people to be soul winners. Because they don't want to be committed. Some people will go to extravagant lengths to avoid doing what they have promised the Lord that they will do. I believe that God is calling upon all of us to be holy, committed unto Him. Because you see, the book of James chapter 1 and verse 8 says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The only way that you and I can stand against the hordes of the devil and hell is to be totally surrendered unto Christ. Jesus demands total surrender. President Eisenhower, how many of you remember President Eisenhower? Some of you would remember Eisenhower. He told this tale one time. It was a story about an old farmer that had a cow that they wanted to buy. He said, we went over to visit him and ask him about the cow's pedigree. The old farmer didn't know anything about pedigree. So we asked him about the cow's butter fat production. He told us that he didn't have any idea. Finally, we asked him if he knew how many pounds of milk the cow would produce each year. The farmer shook his head and said, I don't know, but she's an honest old cow and she'll give you all the milk she has. Now, you know what? Those of us in the church ought to be like that old cow. We ought to be giving God all that we can give unto Him, and we ought to be committed. Caleb was. But there's another characteristic about this man that often we forget. Caleb was a man who was confident. What was it that gave this, and now think about it, I'm not talking about 45, I'm talking about 85. What gave this old man the idea that he could be a giant killer? It was Caleb's confidence in the Word of God. Now, I want to tell you something. You know, if you don't believe prophecy comes true, way back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 34 through 36, God made a promise unto Caleb. And I want you to listen to this. The Bible says, and the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land. Now, what he's talking about are those who were fearful, not moving by faith, and they were those who said, hey, we can't take the land of Canaan. But God says, Caleb will. He said, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it. And to him, he said, will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he, here's that phrase again, hath fully, wholly followed the Lord. You know, I can almost see Caleb climbing up that mountain with a sword in one hand and a deed to the land in another. This man is not fearful at all. He is confident in the promise of God. And so he says, give me this mountain. You know, it takes faith to win a spiritual victory. In fact, only faith can bring about that victory. That's why the book of Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Let me tell you something, first of all. Faith is not a blind leap, but a deep, settled conviction that God will do what he has promised. Not only is Caleb committed, not only is he confident, but the Bible says that here is a man who was courageous. In Caleb's life, commitment led to his confidence. And I'm going to tell you, it's true of us today. You take a man that is really committed, he will develop confidence, and he will develop courage. Caleb had to overcome, actually, three great obstacles in order to conquer Canaan. He had to overcome what we call the grasshopper syndrome. While others were saying, well, we're just like grasshoppers over here, and these men are giants. He had to overcome that mentality. You know what? We got a lot of people in the world today that when you want to do something and you want to promote and you want to build, there are others who are there to tear down. There are those who are there to tell you why it won't work. We're not grasshoppers. He had to overcome giants. You think Caleb didn't see it for what it really was? Sure he did. He had to overcome gray hairs. Because I'm sure there were people that were saying of Caleb, this old man's 85 years old. Did we hear him right? He wants this mountain. When God makes a promise, He will give us the strength to see its fulfillment. You know, when you boil all the fat away, courage is defined in three little letters. Y-E-S. Yes. Yes. We ought to say yes to what God is doing in our life. But fourthly, Caleb was a conqueror. He didn't just envision it. You know, there's a difference between talking the talk and walking the walk. A lot of people talk the talk. A lot of people talk about how they love God. And a lot of people talk about how they want to be involved in the church. And people talk a lot of talk, but they don't walk the walk very much. Caleb experienced what God had promised. He climbed the mountains and he defeated the giants. And then he claimed his possession. He was a conqueror. Now, the name of the place that Caleb was given by Joshua was called Hebron. If you know anything about Old Testament history, you know that's a very familiar name, the name Hebron. But you may not know that the name Hebron in the Hebrew actually meant fellowship. And it really is talking about the fellowship that he had with God. He refused to quit. And so he obtained everything that the Lord had for him. He refused to stop until he had the fellowship with God that he desired. You know what? That needs to be our cry today in the church. It needs to be our cry in the world. We must refuse to give up, back up, shut up, or be held up until we have stood up, lined up, read up, prayed up, confessed up, stored up, looked up, spoke up, and fulfilled up everything that the Lord has desired for His children. You know, one of the big misnomers I think that people have is the fact that those of us who are Christians are not going to really have any real serious problems. That's not true. You think that Caleb understood that somewhere along the way he's going to have one problem after another? Obviously he did. I'd like to know what really went on in that 40 years of his life prior to receiving that inheritance from God. I don't know. We're not privy to it. But I know one thing. He never acquiesced. He never gave up. He held on to his faith in God. You know, if one thing the Bible teaches in our conquest toward heaven, and that's really what we're talking about, our promised land is not here. Our promised land is in heaven. We sing that old song, "Who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land." Our promised land is not here in this world, but it's in heaven. There will be trials along the way. God had a flood for Noah, when you think about it. He had a fire for the three Hebrew children. He had a lion's den for Daniel, his great servant. He had a cake for the widow of Zarephath, and he had a cross for his own son. But there was victory in the midst of every one of those trials. That's why Paul, when he writes that Corinthian epistle, that 1 Corinthian epistle in the 15th chapter, he talks about the fact that death is swallowed up in victory. He said, "Our victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ." you and I, in a very spiritual way tonight, are in the wilderness. We are. And we're facing one trial after another. But someday, if we, like Caleb, hold on to our faith through our commitment, and we hold on to our faith and we are established in confidence, and if we hold on to our faith, God says we will become a conqueror. God has a place of peace and power for us. But we must be willing to lay claim to our possession. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's for the faith-hearted. And God is willing to give us our promise. God promised Israel the land, but they had to possess it for it to become theirs. You know what? God wants to give us a deed to life eternal. He does. That's what Caleb had. But he also had a sword. And oddly enough, God has given us a sword. It's called the sword of the Spirit. And the deed and the sword accompany one another right here in the precious book divine. And it belongs to the faithful Christian. You know, it's a shame that more people are not becoming obedient to the faith. And I talk to a lot of preachers, and I hear it quite often from many. It's so hard to even interest people in God anymore, because our world in America has become so corrupt and ungodly that people want to think and talk about everything in the world except their Maker. You know what our real struggle is today in the Church of Jesus Christ is holding on to the faithful, keeping Christians faithful to God. That's a real challenge. I hope that you will always be faithful unto God, faithfully committed to Him. And whatever the task is, or however big the mountain is, that you could say with Caleb, give it to me. Give it to me. I'm willing to seize it. So for those of us perhaps who are weak in the faith, God says to us, don't give up. Don't be faint-hearted, but be faith-hearted. For John says, our victory is the victory of our faith. And isn't that what Christ said in Revelation 2 and verse 10? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. If you're here tonight and your faith is weak and yet you want it to be stronger, let me point you to the Word of God. And let me point you to the God who is willing to strengthen you in every way. And may you lay hold on that promise tonight. If you're not a Christian, why not become obedient to the Lord? Develop a faith in God that can never be quenched, but only grow stronger. Let us stand and let us sing.